Welcome to the Next Talk podcast, where we share real stories and practical advice for parenting the digital world.
We're your hosts, Mandy and Kim. Mandy is an award-winning author and the founder of Next Talk. And I'm the director of Next Talk, a nonprofit organization created to strengthen families through open communication. You can check out all of our resources at nexttalk.org.
We're wives, moms, and friends, tackling culturally relevant topics from a Christian perspective. We're sharing what we've learned and where we failed. We're so glad you're here for this conversation.
So today on the show, we have a special guest. Well, really, that's not accurate. It's not we. It's me, Kim, and Mandy has the day off. And so I have my wonderful husband, Charles. Welcome back to the show.
Oh, yeah. It's great to be back.
Oh, my goodness.
It's been a long time. Microphone.
I think the microphone has missed you almost as much as me.
Man, it's been a long time. I love being here. It's a great opportunity. Love to share what's going on in this dad brain of mine. And, you know, hopefully it brings some balance. I don't know, maybe a little perspective to all the listeners
some
out there.
Some dude perspective.
Some dude dad perspective.
Well, y'all always have like a different way of thinking of things. So I think that's good. Today we're kind of tackling a big subject. And the reason, as you know, as we were planning for this show, we were thinking about all the different topics and different things that we've done before on the podcast. And all of them kind of stem from patterns or things we've experienced in the past and what that looks like now in our marriage and our relationship and our parenting and our careers, good or bad. And when you really look at that in a bigger picture, it's about generational cycles.
It can be. Yeah, sure. I think a large part of who I am is my past. You know, the lessons that I've learned have kind of shaped me. And same thing, I think, for most people, right? Mm-hmm. You know, we've kind of been influenced by our experiences, and we also have been influenced by like our families. You know, growing up, you know, we have a certain, you know, genetic code that we all have that we're sort of prone to certain things. I think, you know, those things go back, I think, further than just our parents.
Yes, that's so true. I think even as Christians and even culturally, like looking at different ways we're affected through the generations can be fascinating and such a great conversation with your friends and with your spouse. And that's kind of what we wanted to recreate here today. Now, generational cycles can be positive or negative. We're going to talk a lot more today about breaking generational cycles. But we wanted to define it for you first, because I think that's a good starting point. It's significant family behaviors that repeat themselves from one generation to the next. And that can be attitudes, behaviors, ways of thinking, values, all different types of things. But the key is that it's repeated over time within your family.
Right. And this isn't, we're not talking about tradition, right? We're not talking about like how we celebrate certain things. We're talking about behaviors. We're talking about significant behaviors that over time have just sort of been kind of become like the identity of your family in a way. Some significant behaviors that really kind of shape maybe the men in your family or maybe the women in your family have kind of adopted certain behaviors and sort of accepted them as is because, well, that's just the way we've always done it, kind of a thing, right?
It becomes the norm.
It becomes acceptable. Mm-hmm. Correct.
Yeah, that's so true. One that came to mind for both of us right away was divorce.
I thought you were going to say DeVito, like Danny. Big fan of Taxi as a kid, and then generationally seeing him in Twins with Schwarzenegger. And then now even as the voice of the Lorax for our kids, DeVito is a great generational cycle. But a negative one is divorce. You're right. Let's stick with divorce.
He's actually in Schlotzky's commercials now.
He's great. I know. It's like another generation.
Schlotzky, some sandwich commercial.
He's everywhere.
He's everywhere.
I mean, the little man nowhere. Keeps working.
Okay, divorce. Okay. So this is a really big topic, but we both come from long lines of divorce. And it's been repeated throughout history in our families. And it's something when we were dating that we talked about as we wanted to be the couple or we wanted to be the generation that broke that cycle. And it's a tall order.
Right. And it's, I mean, you guys know the stats, right? I mean, over 50% of American marriages end in divorce, even, and that includes Christian marriages, right? So
Christian marriages are even higher at this point. So, okay. It's really sad.
And then when people remarry, it's like 70%, right? Yeah. So it becomes, and that's just all you need to know about that, right? Because if you allow it to happen, it becomes normalized, it becomes acceptable, it becomes okay. So my parents are divorced. My dad's parents are divorced. And this goes back, you know, two generations where it wasn't as acceptable, right? In a kind of trailblazing, pioneering way, in a bad way, yeah. It became acceptable, I think, in my dad's eyes that divorce was an option, right? Because his dad left when he was like a teenager. Mm. So him and his brother joined the Navy, and then his mom never remarried. So my grandma was alone. Mm-hmm. Right. Her kids grew up. They joined the Navy. They saw the world. And my dad only kind of knew his mom as being kind of a single mom. So mm-hmm. it wasn't so unfamiliar for him, you know, to have somebody just leave their wife and, you know, start new because he saw it happen.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So it became sort of acceptable for that sort of thing to happen. And I don't know how far back it went, you know, because I don't really talk to my dad too much, but I don't think it would I don't think it would be too tough to go too far back to find examples of divorce.
Which, you know, interestingly enough, I think that's a lot of people's stories, especially people our age. Mm-hmm. They saw that happen with parents and grandparents. And if you see something enough from people you respect or look up to or were your parental figures, then it becomes normalized or it becomes okay. Or you know it's not okay, but you use it as an excuse when it comes to your own life, when sure. things get hard, when you don't know what to do, if you don't have someone pouring into you, you're like, well, this is what they did. So I guess it's okay.
I'm not the only one doing something bad.
Yes.
So it's all right then, because I have this society of fellow rule breakers or other bad choice makers, you know, kind of going along with me. So, you know, we see it in young kids all the time, right?
Yeah.
You know, it's like when you bust your kid for doing something, what's the first thing that they say?
Well, Johnny did it too.
He was doing it too. They were all doing it, Mom, you know?
Yes.
So yeah, it is, it's easy to kind of give strength to the actions when other people are doing it, right?
Well, and that's kind of what we wanted to do is give you some examples first and then talk about some ways, you know, in your own life that this can apply and how you can look at generational cycles. And if you want to keep them, if they're positive ones, or if you want to break them, we're going to give you a few tips for that. But divorce was the first one we thought of, which led to an even bigger topic of communication, which is such a next talk way to go, but it's so true. Mm. Like if you look at divorce and you look at all the different things that can contribute to a divorce, unhealthy communication or a lack of communication, I think is a huge generational cycle that we have had to break and that a lot of families have. And so much of that is because it wasn't expected for our parents and especially not our grandparents to dig into deep conversations or to be a good listener or to understand your kids' feelings or to talk about hard things. I mean, this is stuff that's hard for us now. So even, you know, just our parents' generation, that just was unheard of for a lot of people.
I think in men, especially, like there's a generational expectation that we don't have to talk. Mm. And that if we talk too much, that's a feminine quality. Mm. So talking about feelings, talking about hardships, talking about weakness, vulnerability,
failure,
that is anti-male.
Yeah.
Right. So that's not something that was ever encouraged in any male circle I was ever a part of. Right. And you could go back. What we're seeing now is we're seeing a ton of need for folks to be able to, especially men, to have that opportunity to talk about things and really kind of recognizing those in our own kids and seeing that in the youth today, how much they need that. That is one of those generational pivots, I think, that we're going to have to make in order for these cycles to break.
Yeah, that's so true. That is so true. And again, with the marriage thing, you can see why divorce numbers have gone through the roof because it was also not acceptable at a certain time to leave no matter what. And now that that has become more acceptable and people didn't talk about things before, now they're talking about them. And then you have to stay and do the hard work. Mm-hmm. And if you're used to just leaving and starting over or quitting, and that was never modeled for you, or you never recognized, well, this is a generational cycle that I want to change. then it, I'm going to be honest, it would be easier on the surface to just quit, walk out, divorce. We know in the long run, that's not easier, but on the surface, it seems like it would be in the moment, than to have the hard conversations and learn how to love your spouse better, to work through the difficult times and to learn new ways of operating as a couple.
Yeah, absolutely. So you have like the easy way out that is sometimes on the surface, it looks simpler. However, we know that that's probably more damaging than ever before. And you miss out on the lesson that's learned. And then you also miss out on breaking that generational cycle.
Yeah.
So we mentioned divorce.
Yeah.
We've talked about communication.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else you want? Like just personally, like what are some things that you feel in your family or in my family, mm-hmm. you know, generationally speaking, has sort of crept in?
I know a big one for us is a relationship with money. Like that is a huge one.
How dare you talk about money? I'm not ready to discuss this right now.
I've crossed a line. I'm sorry.
Woman, I'm not ready to communicate about this.
These hard conversations are too much.
Press stop. Press stop. Pause record.
Oh, my goodness. It's so true, though. Like money is huge, huge. And the way your family has dealt with it, it definitely affects you. So, for example, in my mom's family, whenever the topic of money came up, it was a nightmare, real bad. Let's just leave it at that. And that's how my mom grew up, seeing that anytime budget, money, spending was talked about, whether it was a positive thing or a negative thing, it ended in a horrific conversation. So, you know, switch over to me growing up with my mom. Every time she had to do the bills or talk about money or budget, she'd get a stomach ache, stressful. So that's how I grew up. Just, you know, spend the money and make it work. So then I get married to my detailed husband and I bring that into our marriage. And it would be, it was one of the hardest things for us to work through at some point. Because I was going along with just like making it work so we don't have to deal with the difficult conversations. And guess what? That doesn't work in a marriage. And so we had to talk about it. We had to change the way we were doing things and we had to shift the boat into a different direction.
You know, we never had money, right, growing up. And so, you know, I remember my mom coming home from work and, you know, my mom would, she had, at one point, I remember her working three jobs and she would waitress like super late at night. And I remember her bringing home single dollar bills. Right. And she would like take them out of her purse or pocket or whatever. And she would just sort of like flatten them out and we would count. And it would be like, sometimes it was a good night. Sometimes it was a bad night, but even a good night wasn't really like a lot of money. And I remember just never having anything, you know, like never really like seeing money. Like we never talked about money because there was never really, it was just, do we have enough this week to buy food?
Yeah.
Do we have enough this week to, I mean, just, I don't know. We always lived in apartments,
keep the lights on,
you know? And so because it was so scarce, every dollar was just like so much more, right? It meant so much to have any sort of extra money coming over. And that's why I'm probably so tight with money, you know, with us. And you had your free spending mom and that generational cycle. And yeah. I have my mom who never had, you know, her thing was like, she never had two pennies to rub together,
yeah.
you know, kind of thing. Now she would give you the shirt off her back. And if she had that dollar, she would probably give it to somebody who needed it more, even though we were the ones that needed it, mom. But you know, those are one of those things. Like I never wanted to be that poor or never wanted my kids to see that, that I wanted to make sure that our kids had at least something. Not that we would have everything in the world. And again, money doesn't solve any problems, but like, I never went on vacations as a kid. I never went on trips. You know, I never went on anything that was outside of school. Like, you know, like field trips were the things that we went on. My mom never vacationed with me. We never went anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that wasn't something that we had the finances to do. And so it really meant a lot to me as a dad and as a husband to make a difference, make it different, not a difference, but make it different for my kids.
Well, and for us to find a new way of creating a relationship with money for our kids.
Well, like in a peace with it.
Yes, right? not the extremes that we both came from.
Right.
And that's hard.
Well, especially when we're from two different extremes.
Right.
Yeah.
So. Finding that middle is really hard.
But I think, you know, when we talk about money is a good example for us because we do kind of, we came from different backgrounds mm-hmm. with that. We had similar backgrounds with divorce. We had similar backgrounds with lack of communication, especially mm-hmm. like with the men in our families, mm-hmm. I think. But when we look at like the money concept and you really have to like face this reality, what road are we going to go down? Mm-hmm. We're going to go down the road that you grew up in. Mm-hmm. Are you going to go down the road that I grew up in? Or are we going to choose a different road?
Yeah.
Are we going to lead our family down a different path? And so I think when you and everybody's going to take a little inventory of their own home here, their own family generational struggles. And I think the first thing that you're going to want to do is you're going to want to identify what are those generational issues that you really want to tackle and change as a family.
And that takes really transparent, open communication. And sometimes that's really uncomfortable because you can feel defensive of your family. I know we've experienced that before. You can feel embarrassed. You can also feel like, was it really that bad? Do I really want to break that cycle? Because it's familiar. And so that's the hardest part, I think, first is identifying like, okay, let's actually talk through what does my family look like? What does it look like now? And what are some of those things that I'm doing that maybe we shouldn't be doing or things that are good? There are some generational cycles that are good, but it's important to identify them and have that conversation with your spouse. And we do want to throw in like a little disclaimer here. If there's generational cycles that include abuse or addiction or anything like that, it's really important not just to identify them and talk about them, but get professional help. Like that's beyond just a conversation. You need to get professional help and you can always reach out to us here at Next Talk, especially if you're here local. We have counselor partners that we can connect you with. We have reduced counseling fees if that's a concern, or we can suggest some other ways to get help. But those are things that are immediate. Those are emergencies. So please, if that's part of your generational cycle and it hasn't been broken yet, get some help.
Yeah, I think it's also, you got to approach this with caution, right? When you're talking to your spouse about something, because you might, and guys, you know, really tread lightly here when you hear what I say. You never want to open a conversation with reminding your wife or telling your wife that her behavior is like her mother's behavior or, you know, or something like that's almost unrecoverable. And so we don't want it to be like, hey, you know, when you do this, it's just like how you hate when your mom does that.
Yeah. It only applies when it's negative. It's not the positive. You never say that about the positive.
So let me word of caution here is like really, you know, think about how you're going to approach this with your spouse. Because remember, this is going to come from, it comes out of love, right? This is only coming out of compassion and for wanting your family to just be better. And so before you share something with your spouse about wanting to break a generational cycle, you really got to pray about how you are going to share that mm-hmm. with your spouse initially. Kim and I, we've been talking about these things for a while, mm-hmm. right? We've been, you know, married for over 20 years. Can't believe it. Whole 2-0, baby. But we've, you know, we've struggled with a lot of these things and we could kind of talk to each other about them. But if this is the first time you're bringing it up, you're going to want to exercise a ton of caution and really make sure that you explain to them that this is not an attack on them. It's not an attack on their family or their upbringing, but it's just something that you want to address.
After identifying, which is so important, you got to decide together what those things are that need to change and what that looks like, because you have to be on the same page with that. Like the money thing, are we going to go your route, my route, or are we creating our own new path? And that it requires so much conversation and working through and adjusting as you go, and then bringing your kids into that conversation. Because especially if they've seen grandma and grandpa, or they've seen you act a certain way, and then you decide, you know what, we don't want to do that anymore. We want to change it up. Don't just change it up and expect your kids to get it. This is one of those things. Include them in the conversation, include them in the solution, and talk about why you want to change it.
Yeah, I think a lot of these topics typically come up like in pre-marriage class, but sometimes they're not seriously taken until after several years in the marriage, really right? Yeah. So it's like, well, I knew this was an issue, or I knew we were on different sides of this particular, you know, theory or theme. However, this didn't really come up, right? And so you're like, well, I'm willing to look past this. I'm willing to, you know, kind of move on, move forward. But then as life happens and as, you know, marriage and kids come into the picture, it's like it starts to reveal itself, right? And so maybe if you guys are like at a big like impasse here, maybe it was something that, you know, just had to get swept under the rug, or life goes on. We never had a chance to really, because look, life gets busy. Mm. You don't get a chance to spend time really having a conversation. Maybe take some time, go to a marriage retreat. Spend some time with your pastors, like really finding a good place that you can plug in and really hash this out in a good spot, mm-hmm. right? So that way you're able to now bring it into to the rest of your folks, bring it into the rest of the family, bring the kids involved. But deciding on what needs to be addressed and then getting on the same page, like you mentioned, alignment is a big thing in our family. Like we want to be aligned, meaning like not just agree, but the actions that we take and the things that we do actually support the decisions that we make, right? Yeah. So getting on that right page. So if you need to seek out, you know, the prayer warriors in your church and your community, probably need to do that.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
So identify what they are, then, you know, decide what we want to change. And the last one, you know, and we don't want to sound cliche here, but it's so important. One of the things that I have noticed in marriage and then in parenting is that I'm always praying, like, Lord, show me what I have done wrong here, or show me what needs to change, or show me what I need to see to be more like you. And gosh, that happens so much. It's a dangerous prayer. I'm going to be honest, because it often ends in me apologizing for things that I thought I was so right about. And it also ends a lot of time in me seeing things, behaviors in myself or in my husband or in my family that I'm like, I don't think God's best for us. and so asking God, show me what those behaviors are that over time have been perpetuated in our family that are not what you want for us. So pray about that. And then a lot of grace, because once you have that conversation with your spouse, you've identified, you've decided what you want to change, it's not going to be perfect. Habits die hard, like real hard. And that's what I meant by coming back to the fact we've been married 20 years together, like 47, and we know each other so well in a lot of ways. But in some ways, we get tripped up on the day-to-day of life, and we fall back into old habits and family patterns, and we mess up. And having grace for your spouse and your kids and your family as you're trying to become this new creation, this new family in Christ, is so important. And modeling that for your kids, that change is hard, but with grace and with the grace of God, anything is possible.
You know, and James has sort of been the letter or the book of the Bible that our family has really been kind of stuck on, I guess you could say, since the summer. We've been reading it as a family. We kind of keep going back over and over again with it. But this particular one verse is from James 1, verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. Mm-hmm. You know, some of these conversations and the change that's needed is going to take a lot of prayer.
Yeah.
This is not just some, it's going to take a lot of work. It's going to take a lot of probably some tears, probably a lot of just communication with you and your spouse and your family all together. It's going to take a lot. So praying for the wisdom to find out how to get to the root cause of these things and improving is huge.
And we just want to end with one more thing, like a hope-filled verse to remind us, like, listen, there is nothing outside of the bounds of God's ability. And if you truly are asking him, help us break these generational cycles, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here. We are living with the Holy Spirit in our heart, in our soul. Like, he changes us from the inside out. And if we are seeking him truly and honestly for change in our relationships and our families, I believe he will show us exactly what needs to be changed, what needs to be said, and what needs to be healed. And so keep that on the forefront of your mind. get into these conversations with your spouse and start creating a generational cycle that you can be proud of. Thanks for being on the show.
I love being on your show.
I love you.
I feel so famous now. Thank you so much for letting me be a part of this. It's great.
Thank you so much for joining us, listening, and sharing our podcast. Because of you, this show is in the top 5% of over 2.9 million podcasts.
We have lots of resources for you, from counseling to live events. Or if you have a show idea or a question for our team, visit our website at nexttalk.org. We'd love to hear from you.
At Next Talk, we're more than cyber parenting. It's conversations to connect.
This podcast is not intended to replace the advice of a trained healthcare or legal professional or to diagnose, treat, or otherwise render expert advice regarding any type of medical, psychological, or legal problem. Listeners are advised to consult a qualified expert for treatment.